Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
There are no people.
There are no people in the future.
No people at all.
There are no people in the future.
Where did all my people go?
There are no people in the future.
Let me try my people call.
Hey, everybody, everybody. Welcome, welcome. It is Wednesday, October 20th, 2021. Welcome to the newest edition of Raging Chicken's collection of podcasts. Yes, it's the Wednesday show with Cyril Michalko. Cyril, of course, is a progressive columnist for the Bucks County Courier-Times and the Intelligencer. And this show, you know, joins the rest of our shows. You know, joins Out to Coop Live, our Monday evening interview show, and our Friday Politics Roundup, in which Sean Kitchen and I break down the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. You can get all our shows by subscribing to our podcast on Podbeans, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You should also be signing up for Cyril's newsletter on Substack. That's at cyrilmichalko.substack.com. That's cyrilmichalko.substack.com. Of course, there'll be a link in the show notes, so you can just click it right there. And you can help support this show and all of our podcasts by becoming a patron for as little as $5 a month. Simply go to patreon.com/rcpress. Your support has helped make today's show possible. You can also help out the show by heading over to our YouTube channel if you're not there already. Smash that subscribe button, like the stream for this show, and hit that notification bell so you know every time that we go live. Make sure to join our Discord server as well to continue the conversation all week long. Just click on the link in today's show notes and you can join up. Special shout out goes to Jonathan Mann, who wrote our intro song, There Are No People in the Future. Check out all his great stuff on his YouTube page and follow him on Twitter at @songadayman. That's @songadayman on Twitter. Well, today, Cyril, first of all, welcome, man. You know, it's great to be back in the seat with you again.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
You got it. And this, in today's show, we're going to be talking about Cyril's latest column, Right-Wing Media Triggers Misinformed Right-Wing Rage. Great stuff from his most recent column there. And we also got to touch in a little bit on his newsletter because, as I said to Cyril before the show, it was like a freaking map of the crazy that is currently like the state of Bucks County and throughout Pennsylvania and the region. So, but, you know, I think that these things pair really nicely together. Of course, a lot of what we've been talking about since we really started this show, that's the Wednesday show, has been what's been happening in the school boards and what's been happening with these kind of like right-wing kind of militias. It's been happening with these extremist politics within Bucks County and across the region. And so looking at, say, the kind of zooming out a little bit, looking at the broader media sphere and then zooming back in to look at what's happening locally seems to pair well. So let's start with the kind of the column. I mean, I think this was kind of a nice shift, I thought, and so from what you've been covering, really these kind of these local races and kind of unpacking them and zooming out a little bit of what's happening in this kind of what got us here, I guess, is one of the ways of putting it. So take us into your column a little bit.
Sure. I mean, you know, one of the things that has been on my mind, you know, with my reporting and with everything that, you know, we've been seeing happening in Bucks County is just like how it feels like, you know, Democrats and Republicans, you know, are living in like two different worlds, right? Two different realities, so to speak. And so as I was doing like my weekly research about, you know, right-wing extremism in Bucks County and throughout the region and country, I came across an article in Lancaster Online that was titled, Why Were So Many January 6 Rioters from Pennsylvania? Mm-hmm. And that's where I came across, and so that made, first that made me think of, well, let me backtrack. So then I came across Allison Dagnus, right? So she's a poli-sci mm-hmm. professor at Shippensburg University. And, you know, what she did in the article is she talked about how, like, Trump supporters' preferred media outlets. You know, essentially we're becoming like an echo chamber of like misinformation. And like they weren't really doing media, they were just kind of like providing voices to oppose what actual media were reporting, right? So that they're just kind of like pushing this one kind of like false narrative to its supporters. And so after reading that, it like made me think back to what might be like my favorite article featuring Jim Worthington. And that was from Canada's The Globe and Mail. And this is something I brought up before. And, you know, that's the article that came out right before the election where he was kind of already pushing the election was being stolen lie, right? And Jim Worthington, just for everyone in case you don't know, he's the head of Newtown Athletic Club. He was the head of the People for Trump organization in Bucks County, which has now been shuttered and disappeared from the internet. And he's a leader, the conservative leader in Bucks County, who also has Congressman Fitzpatrick on speed dial. Right. So this conservative leader tells the Globe and Mail that Democrats, the only thing they hate more than America is themselves. He calls them self-loathing, violent, mean, aggressive. He's talking about his neighbors and his customers that don't have the same political beliefs as him. But in that same article, they also talk about the reporter kind of like queries Worthington about where he gets his news. And in it, the article says that, you know, Mr. Worthington has given up on CNN, on the network news, on even Fox, quote, because the Murdoch sons are flaming liberals, right? He gets his info, and I'm quoting here, from the common person who can tell you the real stories. I get my news online from people I know, from Facebook, right? So, you know, I think the way Worthington or Jim Worthington approaches his news consumption is probably pretty common throughout Bucks County, right?
I think that's right.
And if you're getting your news from like Facebook, right, it could be from a website that doesn't list any of its editors or writers. So it's like pretty much like a troll farm. Or it could be like from a meme. And we've seen that in the school board meetings where like a local Reopen Bucks woman was talking about mentioning an 1866 Supreme Court decision, which was a popular meme on Facebook among right-wing circles, which falsely stated that this decision made social distancing illegal in the country, right? So, you know, for me, it was just kind of about, you know, breaking down this situation we find ourselves in where conservatives and, you know, not all, but like, as we're seeing, like, the base of the Bucks County Republican Party is becoming more extremist by the day, right? Now, there's still Republicans that kind of like read different news sources, whether it's the Courier-Times and the Intel, the New York Times, the Inquirer, you know, along with whatever, you know, maybe conservative magazines or publications they might also read. Although I'm thinking like there's probably, you know, there's probably not a lot of conservatives locally that are reading like the National Review, you know, which, you know,
right.
For it has its faults, but it's still like it still does like some serious journalism, or the Bulwark, or the American Conservative, which has like more of a libertarian streak. But yeah, so it was for me. I just felt like it was time to kind of like break this down and kind of like unpack why we're seeing this happen.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that about getting your news from Facebook, and I'm glad you pointed out that. When somebody says I'm getting my news from Facebook, that's kind of like almost like an avatar for a whole bunch of other stuff, because, you know, I mean, Facebook is not producing the news, right? All Facebook is doing is circulating stuff, right? And what I find very interesting is that, you know, you used to talk about like turning to something like the New York Times, or even, as you said, like the National Review or something like this, even if whether it's conservative or liberal or just kind of mainstream news, you're looking for trusted sources. And, you know, it's been, you know, it's almost a cliche at this point, but we've seen an assault on trust, an assault on facts, an assault on, you know, reality, really, over the past, you know, dozen years or so. But, you know, especially under the Trump regime. And what happens in there, it's not just that trust goes away completely, but you're shifting your trust from, say, established institutions with protocols and rigor and whatever you want to call it. And you're shifting it to those people that you know. Right. And so, of course, what's missing in that is you're actually not trusting the people that you know. Right. It's not like they're going out and doing the reporting. It's actually you're used. Now you have these largely kind of shadowed organizations, right, on the right wing and right wing media side that are pushing down these memes, pushing down these just talking points, right, and really kind of propaganda, which then is circulated among trust circles, in Facebook groups and so on. So it's a really kind of complicated and complex situation, which is leaves us in a I don't know. I mean, you've heard me say this before, but it seems like a fairly dire situation, right? But I don't want to get us too far ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. And let's be clear, like this has been going on for a while. And I think like what we're seeing now is like, what's happening is that these troll farms or these kind of like right wing, like faux media organizations like OANN, they're just following the Fox News model, which is about beating the drum, that same message throughout all its programs every single day. Right. And like, you know, I kind of cited like a few of the things that kind of like stuck out to me where like Republicans and Democrats have like different views of reality. And, you know, this dates back to like the whole like WMD, Iraq weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
As late as 2014, December 2014, Fairleigh Dickinson University put out a poll that showed more than half of Republicans still believed it was probably or definitely true that the U.S. Found a WMD program in Iraq, and we just know that that's completely false. It never happened. And then in 2016, and then I think this is maybe where like Trump starts playing into it, a public policy polling survey found 65% of Trump supporters think President Obama is a Muslim, and almost 60% didn't believe that he wasn't born in the United States, like buying into that kind of like racist birther crap that Trump was peddling for so long, and which was like a big part of his campaign. What we're seeing now is just with social media and with like Republicans just kind of like almost like withdrawing from the general public and just kind of like insulating themselves in these like little like, you know, information cocoons. That's why we're seeing this like, you know, Grand Canyon between like what Democrats believe and what Republicans believe and what's actually like the truth.
Well, and I think that, you know, you include this other example in there too, which I really think underscores this. You said this year in August, Yahoo News and YouGov poll found that 2/3 of Republicans believe November's presidential election was stolen. And what's important about that is that, you know, it's you're talking about 2/3 of Republicans, right? That is an overwhelming majority of Republicans who believe this. And that's not just the kind of lunatic fringe. Right now, you're actually talking about people who are self-identified Republicans who are believing that, which gets us to a bigger problem. Right? Yeah, sure. There might be some Republicans out there that are still, you know, trying to make sure that they're reading a bunch of sources and committed to reality. But you're talking about 2/3 of a party, people, a self-identified kind of, you know, political party, are disconnected. Right. Disconnected from or at least kind of refuse to engage in the kind of fact game, if you will. Right. Like there was an election, votes were counted and this other person won. And they're like, nope, not going to do it.
Yeah. And then, you know, Allison Dagnus, like she called this like a dark rabbit hole that we're going down. What she told me was that, you know, when Republicans don't trust the government, when they don't trust the media to tell them the truth about the government. And what we're seeing is that now they don't even believe like we have a democracy because they don't believe this election was legitimate. And then if you don't believe you have a democracy, then the rules don't really apply anymore. And that's pretty scary stuff. And that's what we saw with the January 6th insurrection. That's what we saw with those militias in Michigan who wanted to kidnap the governor. In Virginia recently, there were militia / paramilitaries that were plotting to kidnap the Speaker of the Virginia House, right? And so this is just kind of like it's opening the doors to more violence, right? Because people actually like they believe this, and then you know we didn't even mention the whole like QAnon phenomenon, which you know with the Bucks County GOP and the national GOP is not a disqualifying feature for candidates because
right.
we know we have Ricky Chaykin and Penridge, we have Cora Landis and Palisades throughout Pennsylvania. These people who have drunk the Kool-Aid of the QAnon cult and are true believers running for office, and QAnon played a prominent role not only in election misinformation or disinformation, because it's like intentional, right, that they're putting out there, but in fomenting the kind of, you know, the anger and the hysteria that led to the violence of January 6th.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, and I watched, I was really, after reading your article and talking to you a little bit more about your kind of interview with Allison Dagnus, I went and watched some of her, some of the talks that she had given and stuff around her book, just because, you know, I wanted to see more about it. I was interested in how she was breaking some of these things down. And she gives this, she basically talks about this model about, you say, okay, look, I'm, we used to think about these spheres, right? There's like a left-wing media, and there's a right-wing media, and then there's the kind of mainstream media and the kind of in the center. But what people generally have thought about before is that, yes, there it's all in the same sphere, right? There's a liberal-leaning media, there's a conservative-leaning media, and they disagree with each other, and they have different ideological vantage points, but they're at least both operating from some degree of connection with facts and argumentation, right? So that you can have within that kind of general kind of large like media sphere people talking about it. But what she was saying is that, well, conservative media has essentially broken away, right? And, you know, I'm reminded of what Sam Cedar in the Majority Report, he's always been talking about this, is, you know, what it used to be is the goal of Fox News when Fox News first started was to get some of their talking points, right? Get their guests on there, assert an agenda, and then get the mainstream media to take it up. Right. So they wanted to inject it into that broader sphere. Right. And now that's gone. Right. They don't need to inject it in the mainstream anymore because they're primarily kind of have a self-insulated and self-reinforcing structure that is separate and distinct. That is, it's all about rejecting that broader media sphere and keeping people within that bubble. And, you know, so it's exactly the kind of thing where it's like you watch people at some of these school board meetings, for example, who there's things that are coming out of their mouths that I think for a lot of the other people in the room, they have no reference point for what people are talking about. Right. And then people start cheering about this particular point, and like, there's a lot of people that are sitting in the audience that are looking around like, what are they? I don't even know why they're cheering because they're completely disconnected. Like the mainstream, kind of the broad mainstream, is completely disconnected from this conservative sphere. But that conservative sphere is growing, right? And is having more and more of an influence, to the point where when I'm driving around Bucks County, it is not uncommon for me to get behind a car or a truck with a big Q sticker on it. Right. So, I mean, this is growing. It becomes more and more disturbing as the days go by, it seems to me.
Yeah. And it's really I think it's a profile of cowardice on behalf of Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick.
Not to
speak out against this. Right. Because, you know, this whole bullshit image that he puts out there, like he's bipartisan and he's a moderate. Well, here's an issue that both, you know, people that believe in bipartisanship and people that are moderates are concerned about: the growing radicalization of the Republican base, QAnon, militias, Proud Boys, right?
Exactly.
This is what's happening in Bucks County, and Congressman Fitzpatrick is silent, right? And that silence speaks volumes. You know, either he agrees with it or he's more concerned about getting reelected and doesn't want to ruffle any feathers of his potential voters.
Exactly. Look, this is a guy who's got no excuses, right? He loves to run on the fact that he's a former FBI agent, right? Well, the FBI are the ones who identified like white supremacists and the kind of right-wing extremism as the primary threat, kind of like in terms of national concern, right? In terms of like violence, terrorism, and all this stuff. That's who the FBI did. So if he wants to run on being a former FBI agent, he can't then say, oh, I was unaware that the FBI thought this was a problem, right?
Yeah, you know, and then maybe he doesn't want to upset his good friend Jim Worthington.
So I'm sure that's more, much more what's at stake here than anything else. It's about his personal, like, you know, he's putting his personal electability within a kind of growing kind of extremist base at stake, instead of basically, you know, trying to actually make good on this whole kind of moderate claim.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, democracy means nothing to him. It's just about maintaining his own power. It's really disgusting.
It really is disgusting. Well, I do recommend everybody do check out Cyril's column in the Courier Times, right? This what piece is right-wing media triggers misinformed right-wing rage. And also do check out kind of Allison Dagnus's book. It's called Super Mad at Everything All of the Time, Political Media and Our National Anger. It's actually quite good. There's actually, and she's, if you hear her interviews, you listen to her, any of her stuff, you'll see that she's kind of very much concerned with kind of going as being as balanced and as objective as possible in her analysis, which is the kind of thing that leads me to want to bring this in and teach, you know, teach some of the stuff in my classes, because it's a really smart, I think, breakdown of what's actually happening in the media sphere. So I'm, you know, good. I'm glad that people are reading this stuff. So Cyril, you know, if we move from talking a little bit about the someone who's like really trying her best to give an objective read about what's happening in our media sphere to the absolute off the rails insanity. Like, I literally went to, you know, I had to like walk away from your recent newsletter posting and to come back to it because I was not in the mental space to just deal with the onslaught of crazy that you're covering in there. So can you give us a window into some of this stuff? Because I was floored.
Sure. I mean, in the most recent one, like, again, like I've talked about, you know, how like school boards are a huge part of my life now, and just listening right. to these school board meetings. And, you know, at the most recent one for the Central Bucks School District, we had, you know, one of the, I guess you'd call her one of the intellectual leaders of the Reopen Bucks blob, who's suing the school district, go off on like this 6-minute rant about how masking children or masking in general is a quote satanic ritual, right? And she's like breaking down in tears, and she's like talking about like Biden and 666 and Lucifer and our blood, and you know, it's concerning and it's disturbing that there's people like her, and she believes what she was saying. Like, I have to believe that, right?
Yes.
She wasn't like trying to lie or be manipulative. You know, this wasn't kind of some cynical attempt to kind of like sway public opinion. Like, she's a true believer. And, you know, these are the type of people that kind of want to have an oversized influence in the school district, who want to kind of like set curriculum, because she's just kind of like, you know, she's like a mirror reflection of, say, a Ricky Chaykin, who last week I kind of highlighted on Wednesday about her, you know, far right extremism from QAnon to bigotry to wanting, you know, crosses hung in the public school to designate safe spaces for Christians. Or Cora Landis in Palisades, who I mentioned before, and Deborah Cannon as well. And Philly Magazine actually kind of like picked up on this now. So, like, Bucks County is starting to become known for
right.
the far right extremism, whether it's like the national coverage of the militias, the Proud Boys being here, the QAnon candidates. And that's why November 2nd is so important, right? Because we cannot
Tell
let
about
these
it.
People get in power, because one, they're going to ruin the school, and two, they're just going to ruin Bucks County, and three, you know, you might want to think about moving out before property values just completely hit the tanks, right?
Well, totally. And I think that, you know, what you said about Bucks County being more registered as a like a hotbed of extremism, I mean, the fact that, you know, I mean, Philadelphia Inquirer just did this you know, profile basically of Paul Martino, right, for the keeping kids in school pack. And although I have to say, by saying that, you know, in the headline, say, you know, there's this Bucks County dad who wanted to get involved because he's angered about COVID-19 closures. This guy's a freaking venture capitalist, right? Who is an extreme libertarian, right, who is sinking like $500,000 into school board races. And if you look in the what was really good in that article was breaking down, look, normally a school board race takes anywhere between a few hundred dollars to upwards of $10,000 to run a school board race, right? He is sinking $10,000 from the start behind particular candidates or slates of candidates, right? And so, you know, not only do you have this kind of hotbed of kind of crazy, right? The I don't know, people drinking from the QAnon Kool-Aid, right, in the county, but there's money behind it, right? It's not just like people randomly coming to these conclusions on Facebook, but there is money being pumped into these races to fan the flames behind that kind of like conspiracy stuff.
Yeah, and you know, the whole Bucks County dad thing was ridiculous. I don't know.
Yeah, it was
that, like, headline decision. You know, it would have been more accurate saying like aspiring oligarch, right, who wants to kind of have this oversized
absolutely
on not just Pennsylvania politics but national politics. Because if you look at the people he's kind of funding, right, the politicians like Ted Cruz, like this is the far right. Never mind that he's a backer of, you know, Project Veritas and admitted himself, right,
yep,
he kind of like serves as a mentor to James O'Keefe, whose Project Veritas is banned from Twitter, right. That's part of the problem. Now we have like this money, and again, like, you know, he tries to like put out this bullshit that like, you know, they're bipartisan, right? Like the keeping kids in school pack is bipartisan. It's just like 95% or more of their candidates are Republicans. Never mind, like, you know, like we said, like Cor Landis again, Ricky Chaykin and Penridge, keeping kids in school pack. Endorsed candidates who are not only QAnon followers, but are bigots, right?
Yep.
And so this is who Bucks County dad is throwing his money behind, right? And it's not like this is some secret. It's been out in the public for months, and he's decided to do nothing about it. And the reason why is because their politics probably align pretty close to his, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, and then, you know, just with the newsletter, you know, circling back to that, you know, I wanted to kind of like take a look nationally as well with what's happening, because, you know, Bucks County is just kind of like a microcosm for the, you know, the decaying and decrepit state of our, you know, democracy and body politic. And so there's been a lot of like reporting and reports and leaks that have been coming out recently, that I thought that like people should kind of be, you know, be aware of.
Right.
You know, the big one was the Oath Keepers leak, right? And so we had these hacked records that reveal, you know, across the country, current and former law enforcement officers, cops, military personnel, government officials, from New Jersey to the NYPD to Florida to Utah to Oregon, they are or were dues-paying members of a far-right, racist, anti-government, extremist militia, the Oath Keepers.
Yes.
Like, that's frightening.
Yes. Right?
And we don't know how many more, never mind like the other organizations that these people might be involved in, you know, whether it's the Proud Boys or, you know, whether they're part of the 3% militia, which we have a local chapter of in Bucks County, who's right, run by a former combat vet who actually tried to get himself appointed to the Central Bucks, school district school board. So the Oath Keeper shit, that was like, you know, that was huge. That was pretty big.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'd like, you know, and one of the things that dump and all the, I mean, please go and check out Cyril's newsletter, right? You're getting, there's a link to the link to his newsletter in today's show notes. There's be a link to this particular kind of installment, because what he's done is basically break down and give you links to all these different articles where from all over the country, basically looking at what's happening in Florida, what's happening here, and as a result of all this dump. And it's important so that you can kind of see how this stuff is taking shape at a national level, and to see that, you know, we're in crisis mode here, is guess what I'm trying to say, right? We're really in crisis mode. And Cyril and I were talking a little bit before the show today, and I was like, you know, it is disorienting at times to be going about your day and just trying to kind of do the, you know, work a day kind of stuff, you know, grocery shopping and all this stuff. And, you know, trying to keep your life together as it is. And then you're suddenly confronted in this context, right, of how bad things are right out your window. It is a lot right now. So please do check out his newsletter and really subscribe to it and make sure that you're kind of getting the updates, because he's just doing bang up work there. That is like a service to us all.
No, I appreciate that. And just, I'll just make one, I know we're running short on time, but I'll just make one other note just about like how like the Republicans are kind of like enabling this, you know, this radicalization and this growing extremism, not just with the general public, but within, you know, like police and military. So like the House Committee on Veteran Affairs held a hearing on October 13th, which I linked to, called Domestic Violent Extremist Groups and the Recruitment of Veterans. You know, and as The Hill reported, you know, in its article covering that, they said that, quote, the hearing was often stalled by Republican lawmakers who questioned the need for such testimony and framed extremist views and behaviors as a matter of free speech, right? And so, like, they're trying to just brush this off. It's just like, oh, well, you know, we have to protect their free speech, you know, never mind like there's these white supremacist groups that are like actively recruiting like veterans because they want that type of military experience so that they can actually work as a paramilitary unit to attack government institutions, politicians, right, etc. And, you know, from 2015 to 2020, 10% of all domestic terrorist attacks and plots were committed by veterans.
That's frightening.
You know, yeah. I mean, they're recruiting police, they're recruiting sheriffs, right, in different counties, these different Patriot Movement militia groups. I mean, just take a look at, because, you know, information, getting this information and just kind of like, you know, familiarizing ourselves with it helps empower us to recognize the warning signs locally, right? Where if we didn't come across this information before, you know, we might just pass it off as just, you know, no big deal.
100%. So Cyril, what do you got kind of in the hopper, kind of looking forward for now?
Sure. I can't tip my hand completely for next week's column, but what I am doing is just kind of, you know, continuing on a theme that I've been reporting about for a while, and that's just the growing extremism and radicalization of local Republicans in Bucks County. And so there's a new development. It's actually potentially dangerous.
Yep.
And that's why I think I need to shine a light on it. You know, and so I'm grateful that I have this column space with the Courier Times and the Intelligencer, because, like, you know, one of my big critiques of the paper for a long time was that they weren't doing enough reporting around what was happening hidden in plain sight, right? And so they're starting to do a better job of that. You know, they did some reporting around the militia by Chris Solery, which was great.
Yep.
I still wish they dig a little deeper into these school board races. Because I don't see them kind of highlighting the candidate's extremism and its views. And they don't even have to, you know, if they feel uncomfortable like calling it extremism, just publish what they've posted, publish what they've written or said, and just let people see for themselves, right?
Exactly. Because, like, it's not even like, I understand, like, that line of them, you know, that concern of not wanting to seem like you're just throwing, just like, show people what they've actually written and said. You don't even need to like, you know, make us like a judgment on it saying, here's what these candidates say. And it's disturbing. So,
yeah. And then other than that, for the Wednesday edition of my Rogues Gallery, growing Rogues Gallery of extremist candidates, I'm going to take a step back actually from the school board races, and I'm going to highlight someone running for Plumstead Township Supervisor. So stay tuned Wednesday to get the 411 on him.
Excellent. Absolutely fantastic. And you know, with the races now, we got the November 2nd, obviously. Monday was the last day that you were able to kind of like, you know, request your mail-in ballot. So I, please tell me that, you know, that you get out there and vote, making sure that you are making a plan now to get out and vote on November 2nd. I'm going to say on every chance that I get and every podcast that I get, make sure that you're going to get out and vote. I cannot tell you how important these races are. And then it's and November 3rd, the day after the election, we're already off and running now on both congressional races and the gubernatorial race, which you're going to be hearing some more about that here too as well. Well, Cyril, man, it's always great talking to you. And, you know, one of these days, I hope that we're going to be able to do like a happy news day, right? You know, like, instead of like having to deal behind such the dark recesses of Bucks County, you know what I mean?
Well, if people turn out the vote, then maybe we will have one after November 2nd.
Well, that sounds like a good place to close. All right, Cyril, as usual, thank you for joining us here. And thank you out there for everybody's out there who tweets out this content, we got a growing team of amazing social media folks out there that are just kind of like tweeting out the content, getting the word out. Amazing organizers that are kind of, organizing around school board elections, are out there in the community that are doing the kind of, you know, the grunt work of uncovering like the seeds of extremism in Bucks County and around there, and of course making it into the pages of Cyril's column. So we're off and running, Cyril. That's what I have to say.
Thanks.
All right, here we go. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. Make sure you help support this show by going to patreon.com/rcpress. We will be back on Friday with Sean Kitchen with our weekly politics roundup. And, of course, we've got our amazing Out to Coop Live. I hope you all enjoyed last Monday's show. We got some more stuff coming for you in the weeks ahead. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. We're out of here this week. See ya!